Welcome to the podcast, God Wants to Talk to You. 15 minutes of Bible talk hosted by a regular guy, ordinary non-church affiliated layman named Michael.
And here we go for the brand new episode to get us into the weekend. And I must tell you guys, I literally just got home from a pastor summit here in Los Angeles that I took a vacation day from work to actually go to. And it was such a blessing to get to go there. And reinvigorating to me to do the podcast and to meet a bunch of people who are pastors. I am not a pastor. I am a knucklehead security guard who actually loves the Bible. You know what's weird? I had a discussion at lunch with someone there about me loving the Bible, and then they were asking me what church I go to, and I said I'm Catholic, and they about fell out of their chair because Catholics are not known for a love of the Bible or knowledge of the Bible or for reading the Bible. And it was funny, and he was like, do you think about going the other way? Because there's a riff in religion, but everyone was wonderful. There was it wasn't like a blow or anything like that. It was just a discussion, and that's what's so great about having open discussions in the world. And the headliner of the event is a man that truly I partially credit for my conversion to this point. I can assure you that without this man, there wouldn't be a God Wants to Talk to You. And that is because I just randomly found him. I mean, randomly found the Christian radio station here in LA. I was driving home from my overnight security shift at Loyola Marymount University, where I was a security guard for 2-3 years. And I had it on, and this guy came on, and his name was Alistair Begg, and he hosts a radio show here in Los Angeles called Truth for Life. And he's a Scottish guy, and he's got a heavy accent. And he's very mild-mannered, but incredibly brilliant and powerful and a great teacher of the Bible. You would learn way more about the Bible listening to him than you would from me. I think my blessing is I was an entertainer. The Bible doesn't need an entertainer. The Bible needs someone to just reveal the message of the Bible. And no one does that better than Alistair Begg, and it was wonderful to listen to him. And there were other speakers, too, that were great. But I can tell you the message that was driven home was the devil's going to want you to quit. The devil's going to try to tell you that nobody cares about what you're doing. But they say, don't quit, never give up, don't lose the faith. Everything we're doing is important. And preach the word unabashedly, unapologetically, preach the word. The word is controversial, and that sounds crazy, but it is. And they gave us so many examples of that today, but just great, great messaging. And so I went out and I came home and I said, you know what? I'm going to look up, get out my Google machine, and I'm going to look up some of the most controversial quotes of the Bible, and I'll pick one or two out, and I will do the podcast on that today, and we'll talk about them and talk about why they're controversial now and biblically what they mean. So that's what I intend to do. And I have to tell you, upon searching, the funny thing is that I asked for the most controversial books or verses from the Bible, and it starts with Genesis 1. Genesis 1 is page 1, verse 1 of the Bible. That's where the controversy starts. So you know you're in for a rocky road when the first word is considered one of the most controversial. And we're going to read some from Genesis. Genesis is the origin story of God inventing the earth and how he did it. And man, excuse me, I've been sick of man and of all of the animals on the earth. And then we'll follow it up with some other good stuff. But a great show. If you wanted to listen to a long-form show about the Bible, it's called Truth for Life. The guy is Alistair Begg, and he hit me listening to him one time, and I was like, wow, that guy speaks the truth. And he speaks the truth because the Bible is the truth. And if anyone's offended by the truth, that's their problem, not your problem. And if you're offended by the truth, that's your problem, not anyone else's problem. So reading the Bible, you have to read it. If you believe the Bible, you believe all of the Bible. It is not a menu at, you know, at the Cheesecake Factory where you're like, oh, I'll have tacos here and I'll have a Chinese dish and I'll have this and you pick what you want. No, you read the whole thing, you accept the whole thing, or you don't. So something to think about. There is a lot of people that are dance around it and a lot of pastors, and this is in churches out there everywhere, that won't speak the truth of the Bible. They dance around it because they want to stay, well, they want money. They want money and they want people in their seats. They want people in the pews. And you know what people love to hear? What they want to hear. You know what people don't want to hear? What they don't want to hear. Well, that's just a known fact about mankind. People want to hear good, fun, fluffy, God is love, the Bible is love. Yes, that is true, but God has rules and there are things in there that aren't as warm and fuzzy. And there's a lot of stuff that people don't preach because of that. So Genesis is one of those. And we're going to get into Genesis 1 right now. And I'm going to read. And this is about the beginning. It's called The Beginning. And it's Genesis 1, verse 1. And it breaks it down. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God said that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And so it was so. God called the vault sky. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land. And the gathered waters he called seas. And God said, "It was good." Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed, according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it, according to their kinds. And God said, "That was good." And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be light in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And now God said that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above and earth above the earth and across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems, that moves about it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God said that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God said that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and the livestock and all of the wild animals and over all of the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Okay, we're going to stop right there, because we have already got a entire gigantic pile of things that people don't want to hear. We have already got that. There was one thing that is, I don't think, enough of a big deal is made about in there that I read, and that was, let's make him in our image, because God is, we think, just God. At this point, man thinks God is just God. There's no one else there. It's just God. And then when he said in our image, you're like, oh yeah, Jesus was with him from the beginning. So keep that in mind. But let's go back into some of the problems now that people have with what I read you in the creation. So creation and order, God brings structure and life to us. He creates everything from nothing, and it's very good. And that seems all great. The problem is that people really don't like that. They say it's against science. It's the creation story, that it is a million different things that they have a problem with in the science. Now, no, later in the Bible, it says a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day to him. So if people want to say the earth is older than, you know, just the animals that were here, and there's no way that, you know, we one day there was nothing, and then 2 days later there were animals all over the planet, and so people have a lot of issue with that, and they don't like the creation story, and they don't know. And what's weird is I've heard many biblical scholars acknowledge a Big Bang theory as, yeah, everything, you know, when God said, "Let there be light," bam, and it all just kind of came together from a Big Bang. Theologically, that's okay. There's no problem with that in biblical terms. So people have an issue with the creation, and then they have an issue with a real big issue. This is where we start getting into it now. So when he said he created man and woman, he didn't say, let's hope Eve feels like a woman and Adam feels like a man. And you know where this is going, and you know this hot topic that we're having in the world, especially today, more prevalent today than it has ever been in the history of mankind. And I'm sorry, it's what the Bible says. There is a man, there is a woman. God says, you know, that they are created in his image as a man, and the woman also created in his image. And that is period. There's no way around that. That is the way it is. God created man and he created woman. And that is it. And people have a huge issue with that. Read the Bible. It's in the first two chapters, you're going to get to that. And it is, or first chapter, I'm sorry, that's in Genesis 1. I just barely got into Genesis 2. So it is absolutely the science versus faith. So that's our problem one with the book of Genesis. Evolution, the age of the earth. They say it conflicts with science. But biblically, Genesis 1 is less about how the world was made and more about who made it and why. And remember, like I said, we later hear in the Bible that a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. So that's, I have no problem with that. I have no problem believing the Bible as the absolute authority on the truth. But a lot of people have problems. The gender roles is a big one, which we later hear. They say, one, they say that the man was first, and then it was male dominance and female submission, and people have a problem with that. there's gender equality, there's patriarchy, the role of women, blah, 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 then, like I say, the trans issue is not even going to be entertained here in Genesis, and you thinking what race you are and picking what race you are. We have free will, and you can choose to pretend to be a man or a woman, but it's not going to make you a man or a woman. And that's incredibly controversial, and it's the truth. Doesn't make it, as offensive as something can be to you, doesn't make it less true. And this book is the truth. This book, thousands of years, this book has been coming down. And notice it's not being altered over the thousands of years by each generation to make it fit what they feel is right. It's not done. God won't let that happen. God is greatly involved. Now, the other issue people have with this is the environmental stewardship over what I just read to you about the beautiful story of the creation of mankind, animals, the earth, the land and the sea, and the stars in the sky. And people are like, man doesn't have dominion over, it's not ours to destroy. They think that the Bible is giving man, when it says to let him rule over all of the creation, that it's giving man the authority to trample and to abuse nature. When biblically, we're looking at God calls us as the caretakers, not the exploiters. He calls on us to reflect the same love he has for us to the creatures, to take care of his creation. We have a stewardship over. Now, we do a terrible job of it, but we're pretty terrible at most everything we do. Later on in, we'll come up in the very next verse here, we get Adam and Eve, and now they're running around in the Garden of Eden, and then the devil comes up as a snake and tricks Eve into eating the fruit off of the tree in the middle of the Garden of Eden that God told them, you can do anything you want, but don't touch the fruit on that tree and don't eat the fruit on that tree. And then the snake tricks Eve into doing it, and then she gets Adam to do it. And the controversy there is, why does God allow Satan to be there? Why does God allow temptation? And we know Jesus himself later tells us he saw Satan thrown out of heaven. Satan was an archangel. Archangel named Lucifer. And he was kicked down to earth, shot down like a bolt of lightning, and banned from heaven when he tried to start a rebellion and take over. And he was here, and God has given him reign over the earth and wanted us to be better. And we failed miserably, and we failed with the first two humans on the planet. We failed. So the problem of evil and suffering is the problem of, in the very first part of the Bible, talking about evil being here on the earth. But that is, God gave us free will. We have free will. We can choose to follow God, or we can choose to follow evil. But evil is real. It is no less real because we want this happy fairy tale. God gives us the happy fairy tale. Seldomly do we choose the happy fairy tale. But God uses even rebellion, even our rebellion, Satan's rebellion, all evil, to accomplish his ultimate plan of redemption. And then so you're looking at a lot of problems people have with the Bible, a lot of problems. But I don't want to go away with people being like, wow, this is a downer. This is a downer podcast, Michael. Why are you rolling out with this thing? And I wanted to come up with some reflection of good news and uplifting news coming off of. And there was nothing wrong with the Genesis that I read you. I just read chapters 1 and 2. There was nothing wrong with that, but people have a problem with it. Modern man has a problem with it. God apparently does not. But here's the part I wanted to get back to about when he said, let's make them in our image. I want to go back now to the Gospel of John. And in the very beginning, I think this ties very nicely back into it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Jesus was with God in the beginning. When God says in the very beginning of Genesis, let's create them in our image, he is talking about me and my boy here. And my boy's name is Jesus, and he's going to rule over all of you. And listen to him and do what he says. His mother said, listen to him. And God told us to listen to him. Both of them said in themselves to listen to him. And Jesus was there in the beginning. So that's very comforting in John 1, verse 1, chapter 1. And then here's something. So we know that Adam is the guy that took us into, basically into death, right? I mean, Adam sinned. God shut down the Garden of Eden. He kicked man out. They were going to live forever. They were going to live in this beautiful place forever with God. And God was there with them walking around. And know this, though. We're now going to jump to Romans chapter 5, verse 18. Consequently, just as the trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, that's talking about Adam and Eve eating the apple, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as in sin resigned in death, so also grace might reign through the righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is telling us there's a new Adam in town, and this one didn't sin, and this one saved us all. So Adam condemned us all to death. We weren't going to die. And we were going to live forever in this beautiful Garden of Eden with our Heavenly Father. And when Adam did that, it was like, oh, you're all out, kicked out, and then we're all going to die. You're going to sin and you're going to die. And the only guy that never sinned, Jesus, he beat sin. Who beat death? Jesus. Who gave us eternal life? Jesus. Jesus is the new Adam. He did it the second time. And through Jesus, we now have eternal life. So God loves us so much that he gave us that lifeline and gave us all another chance. So that is wonderful. And then the final note here of good news, because the Bible is good news. As much as it is stone cold truth, like it or not like it, we also get these nuggets of inspiration throughout the Bible. Everything we need to know. It is a handbook for life. So now we're going to jump all the way to the book of Revelations, which is incredibly confusing to most people, let's be honest. But in the end, so we're at the end of Revelation now, chapter 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And that would be our Lord Jesus Christ and his Holy Father. And we have Eden again. And it is coming. And that is the book of Revelation, which is the book of prophecy and end times and all that great stuff. And we have eternal life through the Lord Jesus. But please read this Bible. Please read this Bible. It's all I ask of you. Pick it up and read it. A lot of reading in there today. Genesis, you can see all the controversies of Genesis. There's even more. I just stopped at chapter 2 chapter 3's got even more. And people don't like it. And it talks about the marriage and them being a man and a woman. And that makes people mad. There's a lot in there that people don't like. But it doesn't mean it's not true. So, stone cold facts from the Bible. That's what I'm trying to give you. God bless you all. Please read the Bible. Study the Bible. Repent if you are not in line with the Bible. I have to repent every day. I can't sit here and read this to you like I am some angel because I am not. Please never think that. I am an awful low-down sinner that needs to repent as much or more than anyone. And hopefully you see that in yourself too and can come clean and be honest about it and accept the Bible as the gospel truth that it is. I will be back again on Monday with another edition of God Wants to Talk to You. I thank you so much for listening. God bless you all. I pray for you all over the world. Thank you for listening to the show. And please be safe. I'll be back on Monday with a brand new show.
If you would like to contact us here at God Wants to Talk to You, follow us and reach out through Instagram at God Wants to Talk to You. Until next time, may the peace of our Lord be with you.